The members please indicate their presence by voting to establish a quorum. The clerk please tally the board.
22 members present.
We do have a quorum present to conduct business. The invocation today will be presented by Pastor Cordell Reiner with the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Would the members please rise?
May I invite you to bow your heads? Almighty and everlasting Father, we come again this morning to praise your name. Hear our prayer. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Thank you, Father, for your words of encouragement today. May they give us hope and strength to run the race that is laid out before us. Please give us tact, patience, compassion, wisdom, and understanding as we look for solutions to difficult problems. If we have to walk a difficult road, remind us that we're not alone, that you are there with us. We remember the words of Christ as his life was laid down for us at Calvary. Father, not my will, but thy will be done. May we echo the same. May humanity see a glimpse of you through our actions today and the rest of this session. Thank you, Father, for what you will do through us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Reiner. Representative Masick, would you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. First, I'd like to say special thanks to our pastor for the very wonderful prayers that you've given us all week. And then I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent to prayer be spread on the journal.
Without objection, the prayers will be spread across the journal. Would the clerk please certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify the correctness of the journal for the 109th legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent. The House Journal is certified by the Chief Clerk be approved.
Without objection, the House Journals will be approved. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, may the journal reflect that Representative McClain will be excused from the call of the House today after 12 noon for medical reasons.
Representative McClain will be excused after 12 noon today. House, briefly stand at ease. This brings us down the calendar to introduction of guests. Do we have guests today for introduction? Representative Davis.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In the Pradovich Gallery, local Soldotna constituent and NEA member educational supporter, Trenna Richardson.
Further guest, Representative Parnell.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In the Paratrovich Gallery, I have the pleasure of introducing a constituent who has been very active in our district. He's been president of the Bayshore Platte Community Council, very active in state politics, and I'd like you to help me welcome Jim Posey.
Further guest for introduction, Representative Masick.
Madam Speaker, today I have some constituents from the district. Lucy Buckles, she's a teacher from Goose Bay. She's over in the Petrovich Gallery. And also Leah Ayers, who's a not my constituent. She's from District 27. And I also have Pam Conrad, who is in the Taylor Gallery, if we can please welcome them to Juneau. Thanks.
Representative James.
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. I would like to let you know that I have an acquaintance in the Paratrovich Gallery from North Pole. I believe she's a constituent of the representative from District 33, but I'd like to have you help me welcome her today. Here it is, Dorothy Wells.
Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I have a constituent that I believe I've introduced in previous sessions, but I don't think he's been introduced yet this year. From AEA in Anchorage, Rob Pfister.
Representative Porter.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In the Taylor Gallery, I believe a constituent or two constituents of representative from District 21, but since she's not here, I will be happy to introduce down here from a student at Wendler Junior High in College Gate who is down here getting information for a merit badge, Todd Hadley. And his dad, Mr. Hadley, is with him.
Further guests for introduction, Representative Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In the Pratchevich Gallery, a neighbor and longtime friend of mine down here with the NEA, Ms. Nancy Allen.
Further guests? This brings us down the calendar to messages. Does the clerk have messages from the governor?
No, Madam Speaker.
Messages from the other body?
A message dated May 4th stating the Senate has passed the following and it's transmitted for consideration. CS for Senate Bill 148, Rules, amended effective date failed by the Senate Rules Committee entitled an act relating to contributions and benefits in the teacher's retirement system and in the public employee's retirement system relating to retirement incentive programs for the public employee's retirement system and the teacher's retirement system relating to separation incentives for certain state employees, repealing a provision permitting the National Education Association to participate in the teacher's retirement system.
That will be referred to finance.
I have no further messages from the other body, Madam Speaker.
Do we have communications?
We received from the Department of Public Safety the crime reported in Alaska of 1993 report. And we received the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission report. I have no further communications, Madam Speaker.
Do we have reports of standing committees?
The Resources Committee has considered House Bill 91, Marine Park Additions and Changes, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 91, Resources, with a new title, recommending due pass Nikolai Davies Williams. No recommendation, Cott, Osterman, and Green. Amend Ogun. The report was signed by Green, co-chair. House Bill 91 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Finance Committee has considered CS for Senate Bill 88, Finance, Pilot Program for Charter Schools, recommending due pass Mulder, Hanley, Martin, Coring, Kelly, Terrio. No recommendation, Foster, Brown, Purnell, Grusendorf. The report was signed by Hanley and Foster co-chairs. CSSB 88, Finn, has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Madam Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Do we have citations or resolutions today for introduction?
Citation honoring Tracy Lynn Rieger by Senators Duncan, Representatives Elton and Robinson. Honoring Peter J. Robb by Senator Adams. In memoriam Stanley L. Huntington by Senator Lincoln and Representative Nicolai. In memoriam Claude Dementeff Sr. by Senator Lincoln and Representative Nicolai. I have no further citations or resolutions for introduction.
We have bills today for introduction.
House Bill 335 by Representative Ogun and titled an act relating to the Big Game Commercial Services Board, guide outfitters, transporters, and commercial use permit holders, extending the termination date of the Big Game Commercial Services Board and providing for an effective date.
That will be referred to resources.
House Bill 336 by Representative Coring entitled an act relating to grade crossing of the Alaska Railroad, amending Alaska Rule of Civil Procedure 65C, amending Alaska Rules of Appellate Procedure 204C and D, 602D and 603A2, and providing for an effective date.
That will be referred to Transportation, Judiciary, and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Madam Speaker.
This brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. House briefly stand at ease, Mr. Minority Leader. House come to order. Would the clerk please read the first item on today's daily calendar?
House Bill 35 by Representatives Parnell, Bundy, Robinson, and Toohey entitled an act relating to the grounds for imposing disciplinary sanctions on persons licensed by the State Medical Board. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 35 Hess with a new title, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending due pass G. Davis, Bundy, Toohey, Robinson. The report was signed by Bundy, co-chair. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 35 Judiciary with a new title, recommending due pass Porter, Toohey, Green, B. Davis, Bundy, no recommendation, Finkelstein. The report was signed by Porter, Chairman. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 35 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Judiciary Committee substitute will be adopted. Does the clerk have amendments on her desk?
No, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent that the House Bill 35 Judiciary be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Very brief, please.
House, come back to order. Motion before the body is an advancement to third. Is there objection to advancing to third?
No objection. Thank you.
There's no objection. Would the clerk please read the title for the third and final time?
CS for House Bill 35 Judiciary by the House Judiciary Committee entitled An Act Relating to Sexual Misconduct as Grounds for Imposing Disciplinary Sanctions on Persons Licensed by the State Medical Board.
Under debate, Representative Parnell.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. 2 months ago when I filed this bill, I had never heard of Karma Van Gelder, but I had heard of and read of hundreds of thousands of incidents of doctors' sexual misconduct. In the last 2 weeks, Ms. Van Gelder's story has been published in the papers. She was a 15-year state trooper veteran who needed some medical help. She needed psychiatric help. As many of you have read, she was treated for several years by a psychiatrist. She was also abused for several years by that psychiatrist. Incredibly, sexual misconduct is not expressly prohibited in our licensing statutes for doctors. Current law says that the state medical board can take a doctor's license for professional misconduct or for lewd or immoral conduct, but those broad categories do not send the message to doctors that I think we need to send. HB 35 specifically allows the board to sanction a doctor for sexual misconduct. I think that sexual misconduct is an evil that's cloaked in secrecy, and I think this bill will help send that unmistakable message to doctors that we're going to hold them to the highest standard of care. The reasons for this are easy to comprehend. We all know how vulnerable we feel when we go to a doctor. We're vulnerable in body and in mind. Second reason is that there is a mutual trust that is necessary between a doctor and a patient, and sexual misconduct is a breach of that trust. Thirdly, I think that it should go without question that a doctor's objective medical judgment is diluted or impaired when they're involved sexually with their patients. And I just think it's time to shine the light on this dark corner of the medical profession for a couple reasons, primarily to protect victims and to protect potential victims. But secondly, I think it will also help restore the medical profession's credibility, which has been smeared by these allegations of sexual misconduct. Madam Speaker, I would urge your support and the support of all the members of this body for this bill. Thank you.
Representative Robinson.
Speaker, I too wanted to stand in and give strong support to this measure and legislation before us. I too, you know, worked in the field of domestic violence and sexual assault for 10 years, and believe me, this is far from the first case. It's one of the most visible cases that has been brought forward to us, but it was amazing how many cases during that period of time that young people and women brought to us regarding situations very similar to this. One of the cases was out of Haines, one case here out of Juneau, and then we had another case out of Ketchikan just during that period. And I think it's more than time for us to put some limits here and make it and send a real clear message that we want this to stop.
Further debate? Representative Cabina.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. First of all, hundreds of thousands of cases of doctor misconduct? Is that right? That sounds like an awful lot. I didn't know we had that many doctors. Madam Speaker, in this paragraph, and I'm looking at page 2, lines 22, 27, and it says that sexual misconduct includes contact or attempted contact with the patient, and then it says, regardless of the patient's consent or lack of consent, and then whether in the course of treatment or outside the treatment setting. I guess this, what you're getting at is that anyone that has come to see a doctor and therefore is a patient of that doctor cannot have any relationship with that person even outside. They could meet a week or a month or 2 months later, and therefore that precludes them from developing a relationship? And that appears what it says to me.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I was on the Judiciary Committee, and we happened to explore that issue. The part of the problem is that the previous speaker was looking at the wrong version of the bill, the Hess Committee version. In the Judiciary Committee version, that language about during the course of treatment or outside the treatment setting is changed to during the term of the physician-patient relationship as defined by the board. We got into a long discussion about the circumstance of one doctor towns where everyone is a patient of the doctor, and if a single doctor went out to some rural area, they'd be unable to strike up a relationship with anyone in the town. And I think the committee did solve that. The sponsor did a good job of, I think, finding a way to allow the board to clear that up. And I do appreciate the work of the sponsor on this.
Representative Parnell.
Madam Speaker, there may have been some misunderstanding, too, about the number of cases. What I was trying to convey is that one of the things that prompted me to file this bill was my becoming aware of the widespread prevalence of sexual misconduct throughout America. Okay. And there was a study that was done, looks to me like about 5 years ago, by a Dr. Gene Abel, who studied a group of 567 men in the medical profession who had engaged in sexual misconduct. Those 567 men accounted for 294,000 separate acts of sexual misconduct and 195,000 victims.
Representative McLean.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would like to ask the sponsor of the bill how it would address if there was one doctor in the village and they are deemed sexual misconduct. Madam Speaker, I'd like to know what the resolve would be. And the other thing that I'd like to know is that if the patient consents to a sexual misconduct or to having sex with a doctor, how would you deal with that?
Representative Parnell.
Madam Speaker, if a doctor, and there are exceptions here, you know, for spouses and domestic equivalents is their term, but if a doctor is going to engage in a sexual relationship with a patient, then I think the doctor needs to take steps to level the playing field and make the parties equal. That is, I think he needs to terminate the physician-patient relationship and refer them to another doctor. The issue of rural doctors and one doctor villages came up in judiciary. I asked members representing approximately 80% of rural Alaska. I was unable to get to one member. How many towns in Alaska have one doctor who lives in that town and could, you know, engage in a long-term relationship with somebody? I was able to locate two towns in represented from Craig's district. I think the focus here needs to be on protecting victims and potential victims and leveling the playing field when a doctor engages in a sexual relationship. And that's what I think this bill does.
Further debate? Representative Covina.
I just want to thank the members for clearing up my concerns.
Are you ready for the question? Mr. Minority Leader?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I, too, just briefly, you know, this is an issue I think that there was a few years ago, even a very high-profile case in Anchorage, not to mention any names, but I think we probably all know the outrage that went across the state, not just in Anchorage, but all across the state, that there were women victimized by a male doctor when at a time when they're most vulnerable. And I too agree with the other comments that were made on this floor. People in Alaska, citizens of Alaska, should expect that if they go to a psychiatrist or a medical doctor or whatever, that there's a level of trust that they can automatically expect and a sense of security that they have in going to a doctor. Otherwise, if you can't trust a doctor, it will cause a lot of insecurities and a lot of problems with people in the state. And I really appreciate the sponsor as well taking on this issue and trying to take into concern some of the smaller communities in the state that could have potentially a person's civil rights being violated because of this legislation. But I feel comfortable that he has addressed them as well as they possibly could, and this serves a very valuable functions for our citizens in the state. I urge members to vote yes.
Representative McLean.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to have an answer to the question, if the patient has consent of a sexual relationship, how do we deal with it within this law?
Representative Parnell.
Madam Speaker, I thought I answered that question. I'm not preventing doctors from falling in love with patients and having relationships with them. What I'm saying is let's level the playing field. And if you're going to be in a sexual relationship with a patient, you terminate that physician-patient relationship. You refer them to another doctor.
Are you ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt committee substitute for House Bill 35, Judiciary? Would members please proceed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
39 yeas, 1 nay.
And so House Bill 35 has passed the House. The clerk please read the next item on today's calendar.
House Bill 287 by Representative Rochberg by request entitled an act relating to outdoor advertising on trash receptacles and restrictions on outdoor advertising. The Transportation Committee considered the bill recommending do pass G. Davis, no recommendation. William Sanders, Bryce, and Massick. The report was signed by G. Davis, Chair. I have no committee substitute or amendments on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 287 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There is objection. House Bill 287 will be held in for tomorrow's calendar in third reading. House Bill 287 will be held.
Madam Speaker, can we briefly return back to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we are under introduction of guests.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just had a group of students and their teacher join us in the Taylor Gallery, and I'd like to introduce them. If they would please stand. They're from the Hoonah High School. Their teacher is Ben McClucky, and the students are Kim Mills, Tara Miller, and Kyle Wark. Would you please help me?
Representative Ogan.
In the Taylor Gallery, I have the great honor and privilege to introduce a constituent and a friend of mine, Mr. John Schrader, and the owner of Lake Creek Lodge.
Representative Navarre. House, briefly stand at ease. Okay. Yeah. Good. Good.
Madam Speaker, with permission of the body, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 287 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There is no objection. House Bill 287 is in front of us in third. Would the clerk please read the title for the third and final time?
House Bill 287 by Representative Rochberg by request entitled an act relating to outdoor advertising on trash receptacles and restrictions on outdoor advertising.
Under debate? Representative Rochberg?
Well, thank you, Madam Speaker. I appreciate the consideration of everybody in the body here. Before us, we have a real win-win situation. We have an endorsement for small businesses and economic development, and also a vote for litter-free streets. And what this bill does, very simply, it allows an individual business in Anchorage, which is now presently providing trash receptacles on municipal streets, to install these particular receptacles next to bus stops on roads which are actually state right-of-ways. And many of the major streets in Anchorage are state right-of-ways. Therefore, this very minor exception to the statutes allows this program to expand in Anchorage and in Fairbanks and Juneau and other areas of the state that have bus stops. And how this works is, very briefly, the permittee places these receptacles near the bus stops. He sells advertising on those receptacles to get the revenue. And then he also, for no charge, picks up the trash that's deposited in these receptacles. The photo I passed out today shows an attractive design. These are in operation in Anchorage now. And I really appreciate your support, and thank you very much.
Bate, Mr. Minority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I was considering not advancing the bill because I was concerned that people had lots of concerns about this. I, too, just think this bill is a bunch of garbage.
Further debate, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I think this is a positive program, and I don't have a problem, but I have a question. From looking at the minutes, it looked like there was some discussion of taking out the notion of these things being adjacent to bus shelters, and I was just wondering why the decision was made to leave that in and why it's considered good that they're only going to be adjacent to bus shelters.
Representative Roper.
That's a very good question. This particular language was in a bill that went through both bodies last year and was vetoed by the governor. And this poor gentleman is so gun-shy right now that he decided that he didn't want to rock the boat, although I even recommend that he remove the word adjacent, so, which would expand the program to other areas of the state. So. But it was his preference not to, so I'm following his preference, and this is a bill by request, and so that's why I did not pursue that. Although I would entertain a friendly amendment.
Representative Green?
Madam Speaker, thank you. I was wondering, does this bill mean then that we won't have the joys of spring of seeing the orange suits out picking up trash from the highway?
Representative Kelly?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just to address the representative from downtown Anchorage question, I'm not sure if this is the answer, but a friend of mine had a bus bench business in Fairbanks, and I think it just makes sense to put them beside those. Those are areas that the municipality has already determined is a proper place for advertising, and the distances between the curb and all of those things, and the DOT right-of-ways, I think have all been established. I don't know if that's the answer, but I know that he went through a lot of grief just establishing those bus bench areas, so those might be just the best areas for something like this.
Further debate? Ready for the question? Representative Brown?
I was just wondering if these would be able to be put, like, on places on the coastal trail in Anchorage, because I think it is a pretty unique and a good idea. But it seems like this language that's in here would limit it only to bus shelters, so they would not be on the coastal trail. Is that correct? It could not be?
Go ahead.
Mr. Majority Leader?
That would be correct if the coastal trail was a dedicated road in the state highway system. And quite frankly, I don't know whether the coastal trail is or isn't.
Representative Roper?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I think they... answer from the majority leader is correct, that this only allows it in the right-of-way. The program is in existence in the municipality of Anchorage in their right-of-ways, but this bill only speaks through state right-of-ways, which the Coastal Trail is not.
Representative Martin?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Also, since we have a similar situation in Anchorage where we allowed, and I think in Fairbanks too, the Kiwanis Club have a program where they're putting benches, and they want to do that in recreation areas as well as coastal trails, and the only agreement was to put them by the bus stops where people, you know, especially in the winter, are still standing in the cold, might as well sit in the cold. But anyway, they said the coastal trails would be the part responsibility of the Parks and Recreation, and they didn't want advertisement, even if it was a benevolent group like Kiwanis putting up the benches. So they are restricted to the bus stops, which is a good purpose anyway.
Are you ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt House Bill 287? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
39 yeas, 0 nays.
And so House Bill 287 has passed the House. The clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar. Representative McLean.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to, if I could have the permission of the body, to bring up for reconsideration House Bill 269, tax credit for contributions for public educational radio and TV.
We are under reconsideration on House Bill 269. Third reading, is there debate? Representative
Question.
Martin?
Just a friendly reminder, Madam Speaker, that this is the first time that we're allowing a nonprofit organization, no matter how worthy, not to take money from the general funds, but even deplete the opportunity of general funds even going, or revenues going to the general funds. They get it before we get it. So it just seems to me... delegating our responsibility of state appropriation to a nonprofit organization, I'm afraid that we're going to see a Christmas tree approach on this kind of thing. I think we should probably show a little more caution right now and not rush this thing through. Thank you.
There is a call on the House. I think it's satisfied. Okay, the call is lifted.
Brief at ease.
House, briefly stand at ease, please. Under debate on committee substitute for House Bill 269 under reconsideration, Representative Navarre.
Call Tom to the House.
There is a call for Representative Bryce to the House. Is there debate? Get Bryce. Call his office and see where he is. Representative Martin?
Yeah. Since an interesting question was brought up and it's been used all the time, well, the university gets it, the university gets it. Well, the university, number one, is not a nonprofit organization. It is a major responsibility of the state government. Number two, there is an endowment. They don't just blow that money year in and year out. It's set into the endowment, and they use the interest off of it. It's growing very nice, but there's a major difference in the endowment approach and or in using the tax credit for operations.
Further debate? Representative Goring.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just wanted to start by saying I appreciate the efforts of the sponsor on this bill and his intent in trying to help public broadcasting. However, I don't really think this is the right vehicle to help keep public broadcasting going. I think there's alternative means that would work just as well. And essentially what we're talking about is a cost to the general fund. We are talking $3 million here. And in light of all the cuts that we've been making to important social programs such as aid to families with dependent children, or, well, the AFDC program and other welfare programs and so forth, I just don't feel this is appropriate. And we have much more higher of priority items to direct the monies to. So I would respectfully request my colleagues not to support this measure. Thank you.
Further debate? Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just wanted to remind the body of the mechanism involved here. Public broadcasting needs to go out and solicit private entities, businesses, village corporations, regional corporations to contribute to private to public broadcasting. And then that 50% of that amount would be forgiven from their taxes. This starts a relationship, I think, that will extend far beyond the sunset of this bill. And I would again remind the body it does sunset.
Mr. Sergeant-at-Arms, has the call been satisfied?
Yes.
Mr. Minority Leader?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm a little bit concerned with the member from Wasilla's comments that this isn't the vehicle to take care of this, that there are other options. Well, I would suggest the other options were the budget, which he chaired, the subcommittee, which he chaired, which obviously was cut drastically. So this is the only vehicle to deal with this, and I would suggest that the representative that just spoke is accurate, that this is a way to involve the public and a way to involve corporations and other entities to contribute money into these, into this entity, and it has a very short life now that they clearly know have to put something together to sustain on their own in the future. And so I really look at this as a good, fair way to wean out public broadcasting from public dollars. And you know, it costs money to be able to do that. But I would suggest if we continued the way we are, it's going to still cost money just to keep funding it every year. So anytime we can find cooperative ways like this that all sides can agree on to make it easier on entities that were created by state dollars and rely on state dollars to become private, that we should have that kind of a partnership. And I would encourage members to vote yes.
You ready for the question?
Question
being, shall the House adopt committee substitute for House Bill 269, Finance, under reconsideration. Would members please proceed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk please tally the board.
26 yeas, 14 nays.
And so, committee substitute for House Bill 269, Finance, has passed the House under reconsideration. Mr. Majority Leader? Effective date?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move the effective date clause.
January 1st. Motion before the body is the adoption of the effective date clause.
I don't have my bill in front of me. What's the effective date?
Effective date clause is January 1st, 96. Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk, please tally the board.
38 yeas, 2 nays.
And so the effective date clause has been adopted. The clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
CS for House Bill. House Bill 291 by Representative Mulder, entitled An Act Relating to Civil Liability for Skateboarding and Providing for an Effective Date. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 291 Judiciary with the same title, attached to zero fiscal note, recommending do pass. Porter, Bundy, Toohey. No recommendation. Finkelstein, B. Davis, and Green. The report was signed by Porter, Chairman. The Finance Committee referral was waived. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 291 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Judiciary Committee substitute will be adopted. Clerk, have amendments on her desk?
No, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 291 Judiciary be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we are under third. Would the clerk please read the title for the third and final time?
CS for House Bill 291 Judiciary by the House Judiciary Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Civil Liability for Skateboarding and Providing for an Effective Date.
Under debate, Representative Mulder.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Very briefly, all this bill will do, Madam Speaker, is allow for municipalities who have an interest in providing a facility for youth for skateboarding to have some protection in terms of liability. There are a number of municipalities, Fairbanks and Anchorage being two, that are interested in doing this. However, they're very afraid of constructing these facilities and then assuming the liability of injury, which is a real possibility with skateboards. So, Madam Speaker, I think this is a pretty reasonable thing to do. In our own instance within Anchorage, they're prepared to construct a facility in the very near future, but are only willing to do so if they have a limited amount of liability protection. I urge member support. Thank you.
Representative Bryce.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Maybe a couple of quick questions to the sponsor. One might be if to what degree of negligence is necessary on the owner's part before the liability is kicked in on the part. What are we talking about as far as the design construction aspects of the liability as well in the construction? Those are just some of the concerns that I'd have. Maybe the sponsor can address some of that.
Further debate? Representative Mulder?
1 second, Madam Speaker.
House briefly stand at ease. House come to order. Representative Mulder?
Speaker, in response to the representatives from Fairbanks and Saxman's questions about liability and negligence, Madam Speaker, the only protection is provided for in Section 1 of the bill, 0550010. The municipality would be liable for construction of any facility. The only protection would be from the inherent risk provided for within skateboarding.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt committee substitute for House Bill 291 Judiciary? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Will the clerk please tally the board?
37 yeas, 0 nays.
And so, committee substitute for House Bill 291 Judiciary has passed the House. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on committee substitute for House Bill 291 Judiciary be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
CS for House Bill 268, financed by the House Finance Committee, entitled An Act Making and Amending Appropriations and Providing for an Effective Date.
Clerk, have amendments on her desk? Oh, are you done?
Yes, I am. Mr. Minority Leader?
Madam Speaker, I'd like to withdraw minority members' pending amendments.
Does the clerk have further amendments on her desk?
No.
There was something in it for him.
No, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Moving as unanimous consent, the committee substitute for House Bill 268, Finance, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we are under third. Is there debate? Please, will the clerk please read the title for the third and final time?
CS for House Bill 268, Finance, by the House Finance Committee, entitled an act making and amending appropriations and providing for an effective date.
Debate. Representative Brown?
Oh, thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm going to be voting against this bill because I think it is really a symptom of what's deficient about one part of our process for consideration of the budget. And, Madam Speaker, we had a brief discussion about this matter when it came up in the Finance Committee, and the co-chair was very straightforward, and I appreciate that, about filling us all in on what this shell bill might end up being. And for those members who weren't there, it is intended, as I understand it, to be an end-of-session vehicle in which all pending loose ends could be rolled and sent back by the other side. And, of course, Madam Speaker, the problem with that is that then our body doesn't get to review, amend, and have a reasonable input into what is in the legislation. And, Madam Speaker, having served through a number of legislative sessions and seeing this tactic employed, usually on some unrelated bill, I guess it's a little bit of a step forward that we're being more straightforward about what we're doing. But, Madam Speaker, I guess I'd still like to see us have a real debate and a process that is more understandable to the public and that gives all the members adequate input. And I hope that we're still going to try to work out some way that can be accomplished and that we can have a more thorough discussion on the capital budget at some point when it's appropriate. And so I would say that as to the amendments withdrawn, some of them I'm sure we'll see at some point in the process when it is appropriate that they be offered. Madam Speaker, with respect to Section 5 of the bill, I do have some concerns about that. That section relates to the expenditures out of the Constitutional Budget Reserve. Madam Speaker, I would be interested in knowing the opinion of the Finance Co-Chair on what is it that we believe, how much money could be appropriated under Section 17B of the Constitution. Of course, we have the 17C provision if we get the 3/4 vote, but then this bill goes on to say that if it doesn't get a 3/4 vote, this bill doesn't get a 3/4 vote, then an open-ended appropriation is made under 17B, but it's limited to the amount permitted by 17B, and I'm interested in knowing your interpretation at this time of how much money that would amount to.
Representative Hanley?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. At this time, none. Because there, if you look at the calculation, and that doesn't mean that it can't be in it, the language can be there to allow that, but under the calculation of the constitutional amendment, there is more money available for appropriation than was appropriated in the previous year under that calculation, so that a simple majority is not possible under the current situation to utilize any money from the CBR.
Representative Gruzendorf?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Speaker. This bill is an absolute wonderment. And I notice in here that the Healthy Families Program is in there, but yet to do this, we have to go to the Constitutional Budget Reserve, which has me somewhat bewildered. But, Madam Speaker, I understand what may happen with this, but I want to talk about a project that I wish was included in here. And that's about $302,000. Madam Speaker, there's a community in my district. It's Wrangell. And I really like Wrangell. The town of Wrangell reminds me of a lot of the little communities that are in northern Minnesota where I grew up. You know, they're the type of communities where the social activities occur around the church, the school, and the Elks Club. And that's the social activity. They're the type of people that are basically working people. And they have pickup trucks with dogs in the back and kids, and they ride around and live in that area. Most of you are aware of what happened to Wrangell. The economy was kicked out from under Rango, but the people down there are smart enough to understand that, yes, they could fight for more timber supply, in which they are going to do it, but they realize even if they do that, what's going to happen is 8 years from now, they'll be in the same position. So in looking at the community of Rango, the governor and I and the senator thought the best thing that we could do for Rango was to come up with $302,000 for a fill area. And what would they do? The city would contract with local haulers to haul in, use the city pit to get the rock out of, and fill that area up. On this, in this fill area, what it is a dike out that's blocked off when tide comes in and out. They would fill it in for $302,000. On there, they would build a coal storage and boat facilities, and this is what the community is looking for. So I'm hoping that maybe later on that this project would be given some consideration.
Representative Grusendorf, you're really stretching the debate here.
Is this not on the capital budget, Madam Speaker? And I am saying what I wish was in the capital budget. I won't go through my rest of the list I have.
Thank you,
because the rest of the
list
that was submitted does have adequate backup and matching funds and whatnot. But this is pure GF, $302,000. And I hope those people building the budget will keep that in mind for the community of Rango. Thank you.
Representative McLean.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would like to associate my remarks with the two previous speakers. With all due respect to you, Madam Speaker, you have conducted this in an orderly fashion, and I really appreciate it. And with all due respect to the co-chair of the finance, one of the things that concerns me and always has concerned me is water and sewer projects. There's not enough listed for water and sewer projects, and we're still in what we consider third world conditions. Honey Bucket Road, we have them, we still will have them. Madam Speaker, the other thing that I didn't like about the capital project is one of my districts, well, I have two regions, North Slope, Northwest. North Slope didn't get one dime or cent from ICE-T monies. Nothing. Nada. So I can't support it. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
For the debate, are you ready for the question? Question being Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Thank you, Madam Speaker. I hope this vote goes well because my self-worth is on the line. Madam Speaker, I just wanted to explain why I'm voting no. It's, of course, if this is the capital budget, it is a little bit thin. And if it isn't the capital budget, it's a bit of a tough process here. We are a bicameral legislature. Obviously, we have to vote again if there's any changes made to this legislation, but we aren't going to get to offer amendments. And, Madam Speaker, that is a critical part of the process. No one body should be the only body that is able to offer amendments. Of course, we could offer them now, but there's basically nothing in here. And I understand that, you know, there's good intent behind this, and I'm totally into the idea of working together. But I just think any time in a bicameral legislature you take a check that requires two signatures, you put one signature on it, and you give it to the other party, you're making a big mistake. And I realize the dollar amount hasn't been filled in, but we have limited our ability to go and make those amendments. When we get this back, it'll be up or down, and that's it. And I'm afraid it'll be a weaker position for us. But I do appreciate the efforts of all involved, and just want to explain my vote. Thank you.
Ready for the question? Representative Mackey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm going to vote no because it appears to me there's a $200,000 in here for healthy families and one reappropriation. That's about all I see, and I knew you all said you were going to cut the budget, but I didn't think you were going to cut it to only $200,000. So I would suggest there's lots of things missing from this bill, and that I can't support it until we see what that final package is. So I would urge members to vote no.
Ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt committee substitute for House Bill 268, Finance? All members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk, please tally the board.
27 yeas, 13 nays.
And so committee substitute for House Bill 268 Finance has passed the House. Clerk, we have another motion. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on committee substitute for House Bill 268 Finance be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. The House stand briefly at ease. Order. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Passed by the Senate Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, entitled Act Establishing a Statewide Independent Living Council and Clarifying its Relationship with Existing Agencies and Providing for an Effective Date. The HESS Committee considered the bill, recommending do pass Robinson, Toohey, and Bryce, no recommendation G. Davis and Bundy. The report was signed by Bundy, co-chair. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommending do pass Grusendorf, Mulder, Martin, Parnell, Brown, Kelly, no recommendation Foster, Navarre, Ontario. The report was signed by Foster, co-chair. I have no committee substitute or amendments on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 117 HESS be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There is objection. That bill will be held in third for tomorrow's calendar. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
CS for Senate Bill 123 Finance by the Senate Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Student Loan Programs and Fees for Review of Post-Secondary Education Institutions Relating to a Post-Secondary Student Exchange Program Administered by the Western Interstate Commission on Higher Education and Providing for an Effective Date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered the bill, recommending do pass G. Davis, Bundy, Toohey. No recommendation V. Z. Robinson and Bryce. The report was signed by Bundy, co-chair. I have one amendment on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Clerk, please read that amendment.
Amendment.
Excuse me, Madam
Speaker. Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd move that we, in ask unanimous consent, that we hold SB 123 Finance in second till tomorrow with pending amendments. As we discussed, we may have a possible problem that we might be able to resolve overnight.
Without objection, House Bill 123 will be held in second for tomorrow's calendar. Senate Bill. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Senate Bill 124 by Senators Miller, Sharp, Frank, and Rieger, entitled An Act Relating to the Human Services Community Match Grant Program and Providing for an Effective Date. Finance Committee considered the bill, recommending do pass Hanley, Mulder, Parnell, Coring, Brown, Kelly, Terrio. No recommendation Foster, Martin, Grusendorf, and Navarre. The report was signed by Hanley and Foster co-chairs. I have no committee substitute or amendments on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 124 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is the objection maintained? Moving to third. House stand at ease. Is the objection to advancement to third reading on Senate Bill 124 maintained? The objection is not maintained. Would the clerk please read the title for the third and final time?
Senate Bill 124 by Senators Miller, Sharp, Frank, and Rieger, entitled An Act Relating to the Human Services Community Matching Grant Program and Providing for an Effective Date.
Debate? Ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt Senate Bill 124? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the vote board?
31 yeas, 4 nays.
So Senate Bill 124 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move that the roll call and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on Senate Bill 124 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to request permission to make a special announcement at this time.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Speaker. In the Taylor Gallery, Bob Willard is sitting there and will be in your chambers, Madam Speaker, immediately upon adjournment. And what he'll have here is a very long scroll that says, with love from Juneau, Alaska. This has been circulating in the community to send from Juneau and from the Alaska legislature to the families and victims in Oklahoma. It'll be sent to the mayor of Oklahoma City, and we'd like to appreciate using your office to roll this out, and we'd like to ask members to stop by the speaker's chambers and sign on it immediately on breaking here, and be sure to put representative on there so they know that our legislature has also included in that. That'd be much appreciated. Thank you.
The clerk please read the next item on today's calendar.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 19 by the Senate Rules Committee by request, establishing the Blue Ribbon Commission on Gaming and Gambling and relating to commission recommendations regarding gaming and gambling in the state. I do have an amendment on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Clerk, please read that amendment.
Amendment Number 1 by Representative Willis, beginning page 2, line 17.
Representative Willis.
Madam Speaker, I would move the amendment.
There is objection. Representative Willis.
Madam Speaker, the current Gaming Commission, albeit different in scope, has at least two members from Alaskan veterans organizations. Veterans and fraternal organizations are some of the most active participants in charitable gaming. The committees that have heard legislation regarding charitable gaming know that that the concerns of these groups are often expressed at these committee meetings. Veterans and fraternal organizations in my home area are the backbone of our community, and I expect that they are in many other communities throughout this state. This amendment would make certain that there are at least two members who represent the interests and concerns of veterans and fraternal organizations. Governor Knowles has shown his commitment by appointing two members from the veterans community to the other commission. And I think that this legislative branch should do no less, so I would urge your support of the amendment.
Further debate, Representative Martin.
Madam Speaker, I'd prefer that we did not do this, limited in any way. There's about 1,134 committees right now, and they represent a wide range of interests and charitable groups and political groups and political PAC groups and business groups. And even though the VFW, American Legion, are committees, and they do have representation on a task force, I think that this would be kind of compromising the intent of the commission. I hope the commission is going to be as arm's length as possible from any personal or direct involvement with the decision-making. And that's one of the objections I have with the task force now. It's made up of six operators who obviously are not going to be objective, in my mind, because they're fighting the regulation that the department implemented already. And then it's also three committee individuals that own that task force. That's a completely different thing. I hope the commission can take their report and review their reports, but not let them be part of that too. I'm hoping that the commission can truly be in an arm's length organization of private citizens that perhaps have no vested interest except for those who know that their children and the seniors and also benefit from those who have permits, and certainly no operators on that. So I'd rather that we keep an arm's length. Also, I didn't want to be sexist, but if you're having two male groups, why not two female groups?
Any further question on Amendment Number 1, Representative Bryce?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Just in response to the good member from District 14, I don't think that this amendment compromises the intent of the resolution by any means. I think it enhances the intent of the resolution. I think that not only do veterans organizations, but also fraternal organizations offer quite a bit to our communities around the state, small communities, large communities. Not only that, but I believe that these organizations also have an inherent stake in the outcomes of these task force. And I believe that they'll provide a much needed facet of experience that these organizations have to the ponderings of the group. So I would just urge the members of our of this body to support the amendment.
Representative McLean.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in opposition to this amendment. And my dad was a veteran, but what I consider this amendment to be is a special interest group legislation. Right now, within the further resolve, three members will be appointed by the governor, three members by the president of the Senate, and three members by the Speaker of the House. Madam Speaker, they can be veterans within their appointments. And I would like to do legislation that would provide for Native interests. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question on amendment number one? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
16 yeas, 23 nays.
And so amendment number one fails to pass the House. Does the clerk have further amendments on her desk?
No, Madam Speaker.
Madam Speaker.
Representative Davies.
I defer.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to revert up the calendar to introduce the guests.
Without objection, we are into introduction of guests.
In the Taylor Gallery, we have Melinda Taylor, who was my campaign manager during the last election. She's from District 22.
Further guests for introduction, Representative Finkelstein.
Well, thank you, Madam Speaker. Melinda Taylor was also my campaign manager in the last election as well.
Representative Kavina.
Madam Speaker, she helped me quite a bit, too, so she has a good track record.
Representative McLean.
Under introduction of guests, Madam Speaker, I'd like to introduce a very special constituent from the North Slope. His name is Morgan Solomon, and he's a very active political member within the North Slope. Would you help me welcome him?
Further guests? Brings us down back down to SCR 19. It's a debate. Representative Davies.
Mr. Speaker, I just have a question that might possibly lead to an amendment, which is what is the relationship, if any, between this commission that we're proposing here and the one that's already in existence? And that's partly out of the from the point of view of, do we really need to do this, given that there is one in place now?
House, briefly stand at ease. Further debate on SCR 19. Are you ready for the question? Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Well, I appreciate the explanation. I just offer a general statement. My understanding is that the existing panel has a very narrow focus and that this one would be much more broad in its focus. I understand that and support it. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Leader. Do you
have anything? Well, Madam Speaker, I will say I am carrying this bill for the sponsor, and I get to work in conjunction with the governor to pass legislation, so I would encourage all the members to vote yes.
Further debate, Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I rise in opposition to SCR 19. Madam Speaker, I look upon this resolution not as a productive piece of legislation for the good of the state, but one that seeks out to find ways to further the gambling interest in this state. Since this legislative session began, if memory serves me correctly, we have passed three or four gambling bills through this House. Madam Speaker, I don't believe the people of this state want gambling in the state. I don't believe they have ever wanted gambling in the state. And I look upon this commission as simply another way to further gambling interest. So therefore, I oppose it.
The debate? Are you ready for the Representative Ogun?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Would it be fair to say that this commission would, I guess one is a question, would it advise the legislature as to what type of action to take? I think it, you know, again, I refer to the comments of the previous speaker, that the legislature has a strong tendency to pass gambling legislation. I just have one question about commissions. Why are they always blue ribbon? Any reason they aren't red or white? Anyway, thank you.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt Senate Concurrent Resolution 19? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
30 yeas, 6 nays.
And so Senate Concurrent Resolution 19 has passed the House. Without objection, I'd like to return up the calendar to reading bills across. We have one bill that I would like to have the clerk read across. I'll stand briefly at ease. To order. To order. House stand at ease. Without objection, we will revert back up to reading a bill across. Madam Clerk?
House Bill 337 by Representative Willis, entitled An Act Relating to the Transfer of the Alaska... Williams. An Act Relating to the Transfer of Alaska Shipyard Facility, Ketchikan to AIDEA.
That'll be referred to Transportation Committee and Finance. Brings us back down the calendar. Representative Terrio?
Speaker, I ask that I be allowed to bring up my reconsideration on House Bill 288, an act relating to procurement preference for disabled persons at this time.
Reconsideration is before us on House Bill 288. Representative Terrio.
Madam Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to carry forward my reconsideration to tomorrow's calendar.
Without objection, House Bill 288 will be held in under reconsideration for tomorrow's calendar. Bring this down the calendar to the next item on the calendar, Madam Clerk.
There are citations on today's calendar.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent. The citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations on today's calendar are approved. Representative Ivan.
Madam Speaker, I'd ask to go down to committee meeting notices, please.
Without objection, we're under committee meeting notices.
Yes, the CRA committee will meet half hour after the lunch break following this break at the resources room. Thank you.
We're under unfinished business right now. We'll continue down.
Okay.
Okay. Under unfinished business? Mr. Majority Leader, any unfinished business? Brings us down then to committee announcements. Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would like to announce for the information of the committee,
Can I start over, Madam Speaker?
You probably
the House Resources Green. Committee will meet tomorrow at 9 o'clock to continue a bill that we have been hearing in committee.
Representative Porter.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Good report, Joe. Representative Porter.
The Judiciary Committee will actually meet at 1 o'clock in room 120 to hear the bills as listed in the schedule.
Further committee announcements, general announcements, Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I just would like to announce that we will be having session on Saturday and Sunday at 10 o'clock.
Representative Robinson? Yes.
Announcements?
General announcements?
Yeah, I just wanted to remind people that the Black and White Ball, which is going to be Saturday, May 6th from 8 to midnight at Centennial Hall, is happening, and I think it's up on the walls outside, but I told the group I'd remind everyone. Thanks.
Further general announcements? Representative Cabina?
To the minority members, there'll be a minority caucus immediately as we adjourn, please.
Representative Martin?
Well...
Under general announcements?
No, I want to... on the announcement for Sunday, I want to be excused for church services.
You may be, Representative Martin.
Thank you.
Further announcements? Representative Navarre? Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to bring up reconsideration of Senate Bill 135, and I would move that it be held till Sunday's calendar.
Is there objection to bringing up reconsideration of 135? The motion before us is to hold reconsideration of Senate Bill 135 for Sunday's calendar. Senate Bill 135 will be held for Sunday's calendar. Further announcements, committee announcements, unfinished business, anything? Special orders. We have special orders. Representative Roekberg.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. As one of 40 unofficial representatives for Sicily, Alaska, I'd like to I got a letter from Dr. Joel who wanted to congratulate the Judiciary Committee for helping out with his social life on House Bill 35.
Further special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand adjourned until 10 o'clock a.m. tomorrow, May 6th.
We're adjourned till 10 a.m. tomorrow. Happy Cinco de Mayo Day.